In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Welcome.
Sounded like you threw up.
Got a bad intro. I had shitty wine in my throat. Welcome, everybody, to a Sopranos podcast. As always, my name is Joe Spellman, and this is
David Feudernay.
And this is
Paul Gullius.
And we are talking about season 3, episode 11, the best episode of all time, one of the best, a classic, ladies and gentlemen. Pine Barrens. Yo, we called it the Pine Barrens because we'd go down there and drink mad beer in the woods.
Yeah.
That sounds like my high school experience.
Pine Barrens. And, you know, we have an illustrious guest today. Feudernick, why don't you take it away and go ahead and introduce our illustrious guest.
Yo, I'm just going to take it away and I'm going to introduce our illustrious guest. He is 5-time Emmy winner, 3-time Tony winner, 1-time Grammy
winner.
And
he is illustrious, just to be clear.
Tony Danza.
Nothing but illustrious guests. Mr. Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett, still alive, baby. And still figured out Zoom. Our very good friend. We did a pilot many years ago together. We were in it, and that's how we all met. And Paul wrote it. He claims. We never saw him write it. He said he wrote it.
That's right, yeah. There's no footage. We'll, there's no evidence that I wrote we'll that.
Never
yeah.
The audience is like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Pillar.
Terry Winner.
Hey, we'll never know. We'll never know. There's no science to it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our good buddy, the pride of Rochester, New York, Mitch Wisick. Mitch, it's great to see you
what
virtually.
Do you what do you say?
Oh!
Very nice. Oh! And perhaps the biggest fan of the pod. So.
Love the pod. Love it.
And he called shotgun for this episode.
He did.
Yes, he did. We were going to have Steve Buscemi on, but...
Yep. Oh, this is way better, guys.
Well,
he's a wimple.
He went on Talking Sopranos, a 3-hour episode.
Which is why this episode is going 5 hours.
That's right.
Let's kick it off. Hope you guys have some water. Some snacks.
The Dave Chappelle comedy special. And you know what? I say it's over.
Get that skip 30 button ready.
Skip 30 minutes.
Yeah. Your finger's going to get tired. Mitch, great to have you on. Great to see you. We have often joked about this show together. This is considered the iconic episode. I think even for people who are casual fans of the show or maybe did one watch, I think most people would say this is their favorite episode.
Yeah, this and College, I think, are the ones that people most often like. Okay, if you want to watch one episode, see if you're going to like it or not. Watch this, watch Pine Barrens, or watch College. I don't know. What would you guys go?
Would you guys say Pine Barrens?
Well,
maybe College, just because it's like first season, so you're further.
You're not spoiling anything.
Back, right.
Now that there's many spoilers.
I don't know if I would say watch this episode if you haven't seen it. Although I have watched it probably with my dad and my wife like together. Like I've watched it with other people.
Who haven't seen the series,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
As my wife's like, I've seen some. But yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't necessarily say watch this because it, I mean, it, I feel like it doesn't deal with Tony. Well, it does deal with Tony a little, but well, not as, it does. Not as much. I don't know.
Yeah. But the,
yeah, I mean, I don't know,
but it's iconic for the two of them.
Yeah.
And by two of them, I mean, Meadow and Jackie Jr. What iconic.
Yeah. Sick. I mean, I would say, yeah, probably don't. Like, you're going to enjoy the episode if you've never seen the series, but you're going to enjoy it so much more if you just, if you're watching the natural progression of things and then, and the payoff is just like so much better.
Right.
And you see, why would you spoil that experience?
You
for
see Valerie like earlier in the season and he's like getting crunked at Slava's.
But also just knowing who Paulie is, knowing who Chris is. Like
knowing
like,
their relationship together.
And their relationship, especially over the course of this season. Like, I think you're doing a disservice by telling people to watch Pine Barrens first.
Oh, of course. It's also like pretty much the halfway point of the whole whole series. It's close.
Yeah,
to
you're
it.
Probably.
It's
close to it.
Yeah, close to it.
It's almost to the halfway point. Close to it.
That Paulie Walnuts Christopher relationship though, it's just, it's so good. There's so many good, like this and like the two Tonys for me. Like I love the two Tonys. Say you hit him in the head with a brick, like those two episodes. I just love those two going back and forth. It's the best.
It's like a fan favorite. They return to it a lot over the course of the series, and then of course, like after Christopher dies, he gets one last laugh on Paulie. His funeral's the same day as Paulie's mom's wake, and nobody shows up for the wake. Nice touch, David Chase. We'll get there.
And we also, we've mentioned on the pod before, but there's like that scene at the Bang where they're recounting this day.
And, which is in Two Tonys.
In Two Tonys, that's right.
Yeah.
And like
the season 5 opener.
Vito's like, you didn't tell me that.
You lost your shoe? You didn't tell me that.
You lost your shoe? Sorry, I gotta go. Be with women. Gotta go. Definitely on a date with a woman, real quick. I'll be right back. Just me and these carrot sticks and women.
Not enough Vito this episode, but yeah. So if you haven't guessed it, I'll do the rundown like I usually do. Like this is the famous episode. Chris and Paulie get lost in the woods in South Jersey. Basically this episode
episode, Jackie Jr. Meadow play Scrabble. Very famous.
Iconic scene. It's basically three couples, right? Where things start to go wrong for them all around the same time, like the same night, basically. It's Tony and Gloria, which is great. Some great Tony Gloria scenes, Paulie Chris, obviously. And then Meadow Jackie, which who cares? It moves the plot forward, whatever. There's some funny moments, but we'll get there. Originally directed by Steve Buscemi, if you guys didn't know.
That's part of why it's iconic.
Yes.
Done so expertly. He fucking killed it. I guess I'll just start from the top and we'll go through the ep.
Yeah.
Because the ep starts, like, everybody remembers it for Chris and Paulie, but the ep starts with Gloria, actually.
Is it weird that Gloria is playing and then she walks onto the Stugats and turns it down? Would you be kind of creeped out if that was the song?
you pressed play and then hid on and then waited for me to come in.
Was that a choice that they had to make that because they wanted to open it? I mean, it's a great song to open an episode with.
It's a great song. Yeah.
But then they're
Van
like,
Morrison, right?
Oh, but we don't want to open with a song.
Yeah, them.
I think it's. I was like, this is weird because they so very rarely use like what's the type of music called when it's not like within the context of the scene? It's not the radio playing.
Right.
I forget what it's called. But I was like, oh, that's weird. Yeah. And then they like make it part of the scene by her turning down the volume like in the Stugats. But yeah, it's weird. They're singing a song with her name. She gets a call from Irina, who we have not seen in quite a while. But obviously, like, Tony's probably shitting a brick because his old Guma calling his new Guma is probably not a good thing. Right?
We all been there.
Tony, I want the brajo. I miss you. I miss you, baby.
He would have been in a lot more trouble if she said that to.
She's like, yeah, this is Washington Middle School. Yeah.
Oh. This is Sandra O'Connor.
Calling about your Wi-Fi services? I mean, middle school?
I mean, you would think, like, being so close to such a bullshit artist as Tony is, it might have rubbed off on Arena a little bit, but yeah. No. Nope. He's like, this is Mrs. George Washington.
I like that she calls the boat because she left something on the boat.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, if he's on the boat, he can look for it because he's on the boat. Yeah. And I know the number to the boat.
But yeah, the high school teacher knows the number to the boat where Tony fucks his gumas. Sure. That's the number they listed in the principal's office.
That should have been Gloria's first question. Like, wait, you give the school the boat number?
I mean, I'm sure she asks that in her head, but she sort of like lays a little trap for Tony, right? Like she wants to see like how long before he comes clean. And actually he does pretty quickly for Tony. For a guy who keeps secrets for decades, he's kind of like, all right, I was lying to you pretty fast, but she still gets mad. Seems a little unreasonable to me, but also she has other issues going on, as we know from Melfi.
Yeah, exactly. It's her, like, her previous baggage that, you know, causes her to react that way. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so we get that little scene on the Stugats. Then we go straight to Paulie getting his nails done.
That set and finish.
Let's go with the set and finish. Oh, God, dude.
Which is obviously like they're trying to set him up as like the most like comfy, pampered he can be before they put him through hell for the rest of the episode, right?
Right.
But it's shocking because I don't know. Did you guys, I mean, I watched this in high school. Did you guys know that men get manicures like with as little shame as Paulie is? Like,
yeah,
at the time I probably watched this live and I don't know if I did.
I was like, that's weird. Do the guys not break his balls for that? Like,
you know, actually,
do they all get manicures?
Guys that get their nails done and feet done, like old school, like Italian, like.
You've done it, haven't you?
I know that. Me,
let's see your nails, Mitch. Show us those nails.
Oh, those are beautiful. Those are,
shiny, smooth. Damn.
Oh, look at that. Joe's got like a dead fingernail. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Joe's I rolled the
up a corpse's went, finger.
Went
in front
with
of
the charcoal
right
finish.
I rolled the fucking. You remember when I transported medical film up to San Luis Obispo or wherever the fuck I went?
Oh, yeah. Listeners, you should know that Joe's been doing a lot of sketchy jobs.
Odd jobs.
No mask on.
Hey, man. Hey, man, whatever it takes during the pandemic. Okay.
Spending a lot of time in the city of industry.
I transported some drugs up to Paso Robles, and they were in very heavy things, and it rolled onto me, and I fucking had this blood spot. It's been there
rolled
for
your
fucking
skin
like
off your fingernail
three or four
knuckle.
Weeks.
That's here to stay. 3 weeks. That's it.
Yeah, that finger's dead.
Yeah,
you might need to.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna need to get a fake finger.
No, no satin finish on there.
No. Okay, I will say. I feel like I've heard like Bernie Mac do a bit about how he gets a pedicure.
It's in Bad Santa.
You know what? It's in Bad Santa. He gets it.
Oh, that's I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Put some candy on that baby.
Right.
the hard candy.
I think once I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, you think like these like Italian Goomba like metrosexuals? Like I got cousins that definitely like get their chest waxed and like their fingernails done.
Oh yeah.
Well,
right.
In this episode, like, it's such a great time capsule because when Jackie Jr. is lying to Meadow over the phone and he's spraying the Acqua Di Gio on himself, like, and looking in the mirror, I'm like,
oh yeah,
like vain fucking, like, and every douchebag had Acqua Di Gio.
Oh God,
I feel like those guys
that was
still exist
college.
In that form.
With
they're still out there.
They're still reeking of Acqua Di Gio.
Not much has changed.
Go to Long Island and Staten Island, please. Just like, you know, you'll smell it as you're going over the bridge.
Yeah, you'll smell it while you're getting COVID.
Right. Right. COVID clings to the Acqua Di Gio cells and floats into your nose. Yeah, Jackie Jr. not surviving a pandemic. I'll tell you that much.
He gets it from a stripper day two.
Yeah.
Right.
You tell me I can't go to the strip club? Fuck that.
Do it before the X wears off.
Yeah. So from there, you know, so Tony calls Pauly mid manicure and lets him know that Silvio's sick. By the way, I didn't know that like the mob gets sick days, but Tony's like insisting that Silvio, he's like, I'm sending him home, which is nice of him. And sure. Which makes Slava or Valerie's debt to Silvio fall in Pauly's lap. From there we go to, and I always forget like how much of a recurring theme it is of the season. Like they really do have Tony and Carm in couples therapy for a lot of the season. Yeah. I always remember it as like one episode, but it keeps popping up. And yeah, this so. To say like they are about to fight in front of Melfi. Carmela kind of like doesn't take the bait, and Melfi comments like, "Oh, you guys, you know, seem to be getting along better." And Tony's like, "We're learning to communicate." But obviously we know that Tony thinks it's not really the therapy. It's just that he's fucking banging Gloria and that makes him a better husband somehow.
Hey, I mean, come on, obviously. I mean, come on.
It's working for a little bit. Yeah. It's working until this episode.
Right.
But and then from there we go to the classic Scrabble scene with Jackie Jr. and Meadow.
As
she's got a fever of 105. Let me get some of that ass.
Yeah.
Is he also like, smoking a cigar
in the dorm? Really?
Is he?
I feel like in the first shot, I think this is the first time I saw this. He's smoking a cigar and then we lose it.
He's like, hey, this is
like a continuity error.
This is a body, or, right?
When you've been sick at all right, I'm gonna play the 20. Yeah.
Blows cigar smoke in her face. He asks her if she wants to do X and tries to bang her. He's like, oh, maybe some chicken noodle soup, dude. I mean, I don't know.
Oblique, no Spanish.
Oblique? Then all of her like college friends are like, no, he sucked. He actually that sucks.
Fucking sucks.
So you guys don't get it. Like where we're from, like if you suck, it's good. Like
you just don't get it. We smoke cigars all the time in front of people, whether they're sick or not.
In small closed rooms. If Caitlin, who like can't be like days without her ferrets at home, is saying your boyfriend sucks, then your boyfriend sucks.
Yeah, that's bad.
But he's like, oh, I got to get out of here. He takes off early. Meadow's not happy with good reason. I mean, you know, stick around if your girlfriend's hurting. Come on.
Yep.
From there we go to, finally we get Pauly and Chris heading over to Valerie's for the money. I just love like they hit on like every joke you can Russian. Make about Russians.
Like,
like, oh, better not be rubles in there. And yeah, like fucking Rasputin, this guy. Cuban Missile Crisis is in there.
Hey, as a Russian, I loved it.
No borscht. No borscht jokes.
Yeah, no borscht jokes.
Maybe it was cut.
I like that he was like, there's 30 other people in this apartment. That's not a Russian joke. Yeah, that's just like a foreign joke.
Right. This is like you're a immigrant scumbag joke.
Yeah. With the worst attitude possible.
Also, his apartment's nicer than Pauly's. I'm so, like,
yeah, are you kidding me?
TV, DVDs,
stereo.
What is this?
all the people who live here chip in?
The universal remote. What an artifact.
Yeah.
But also breaks super fucking easily.
It shatters. It's like an egg.
It shatters into a million pieces on the floor when he just sort of like, oops. It's not like he spiked it on the ground. Yeah. I mean, was 90s plastic that fragile? I don't remember it being.
But... I mean, I don't remember universal remotes being like that huge. That looked gigantic. Like a fucking BlackBerry. What the fuck? yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised it broke.
I feel like, yeah, props department was like, fuck, fuck, we didn't get the universal remote. Use this TI-84 or whatever the fuck it is.
Huge. You put it back.
Hopefully they don't notice.
On the dock. You put the universal remote back on the dock.
On dock.
Paulie does not like to be told what to do. Next thing you know is he's strangling the man with a lamp and cracking his windpipe. Totally, like, I mean, this situation is what it all comes down to, right? Like, there's, like, Chris is there to and he does everything right, but Paulie is just off the, from the jump, like, whatever reason, he's just, like, looking to break this guy's balls, and this is not the guy to do it with.
He's, like, fucking 7 foot tall. He's got the worst attitude as soon as he gets in.
He's 7 foot tall. He's been drinking for 18 hours straight. But
should have had that drink. So, hey, if we've learned anything all season, have the drink.
Always have the drink. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter what the social situation is. Have the drink.
Yes.
So yes, now what was supposed to be a simple pickup, they gotta deal with fucking disposing of a body.
That's it for him. It's like a fucking Wednesday afternoon. They're like, yeah, that's it for him. Well, let's roll him up in this fucking rug.
Yeah. Also, I'll note that Paulie was wrong. That medical diagnosis was wrong. But yeah.
Dr. Walnuts got it wrong.
Yeah. Oh, fucking doctor over here.
Mitch knows a thing or two about rolling up some people in carpets, but we don't need to
that's
go.
Another pot.
That's another pot.
I love how there's just a carpet, like a big enough carpet, just hanging on the fucking wall, ready to go. Like, all right, perfect.
Mitch, we'll save that story for the I Got Away With It pod.
I'm still here. I made it.
They also had like a dolly too, right? Yeah. They had like a hand truck or something. Yeah. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
That was handy. So, yeah, like,
because it's in the back of fucking Silver Cup. They were just like,
he's got a fucking snow shovel. He's got a snow shovel, a doll.
He's got sandbags. Yeah. He's got fucking grip stand.
Very, very prepared alcoholic.
Yeah.
For any situation. Of course, Tony gets interrupted mid-screwing Gloria. With the phone call that Paulie is like, I got a little physical. Guy sucker punched me. We see Chris is like, I see what this motherfucker is trying to do. But Tony's pissed and kind of pieces out from Gloria. But they make plans for a little 9 p.m. London broil, which sounds lovely.
Look great.
It looks fantastic.
Huge.
But
enormous. That was just for Tony.
If it was anybody else, that would have knocked them out. But it's hitting the back of Gandolfini's neck is like hitting a wall.
Do you know who threw that steak? I was like looking up trivia the other day after I watched it, and it's Buscemi throws the steak at the back of his head.
That's right. Yeah, I remember it. So they couldn't
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Annabelle Sciorra couldn't land it right. Yeah. So fucking Gandolfini had to get a London broil to the back of the head. Who knows how many times?
25. Give me the London broil.
Give me this fucking steak.
I can do it myself.
Fucking 4 in the morning. He's like, we gotta get this done.
Okay.
Chase is gonna have my balls.
If this doesn't hit his neck at exactly the right angle. I mean, how hard is it to like really to convincingly throw a London broil? I don't know.
Did the same shot in Tree's Lounge. Believe me, I got this down.
Paulie is trying to salvage the day. We get that scene at the gas station where he's like, okay, hey, you know, we'll make a day of it. We'll go down to AC, a little blackjack, freshen up.
Hit Morton's,
get a steak.
Should want the Roy Rogers.
Yeah. Of course, true New Jerseyites will explain that they can't pump their own gas in New Jersey.
That's not a thing. This is true.
Well, yeah. Why does he pump his gas? That's weird. Yeah.
Well, I guess they made TV the creative purpose. Decision. Yeah. To like, they didn't want somebody hanging around when Chris and Paulie are having this conversation. So they were just like, fuck it. Nobody knows that rule in Jersey.
Also, you wouldn't get that great shot, reverse shot of him smiling at like the family walking by.
Yeah. With the trunk. With
and
the,
then as with soon the as they, Russians. As soon as they clear, he like, immediately goes like to his pissed off face again. Great shot.
Right. But yeah, trying to make the best of the day. You fucking murdered somebody for no reason. It's totally Polly Walnuts.
Yep.
So then we get a scene with Tony and Melfi where he comes clean about screwing Gloria. You know, she's smart, sexy, she's Italian. But he's like, you know, point is she makes me happy and I'm a better husband and a better father. You know, being with her makes me happier than any Prozac and therapy bullshit combined. And I think this, that might be true up until like very soon here. Right.
Yeah. Well, and she has information about Gloria that he obviously doesn't have yet.
Right. And she's obviously like biting her cheeks. Like, I want to tell you, like,
plus how many and who knows how many sessions like he and Carm have had with Melfi. And it's like,
right.
Oh, this is a fucking waste of my time because, like, you guys are doing better because it's all predicated on a fucking lie. Like, this is right. All my hard work, like, it, like, doesn't mean shit. It's just that right. You're fucking banging my fucking other client. Like,
right. Yeah. Like, you're not fixed because you're banging a hot broad. Like, yeah. we're not done here.
And then she's like, oh, and then it's like, oh, fuck. You're banging your mom. Right. Now we have a lot of fucking shit to sift through now. Fuck.
that's the end of the episode where she's right. Like you know, it's
who does this remind you
depressive
of?
Personality right. Unstable, impossible to please, remind you anybody?
Yep.
Sounds like no. But yeah, I mean, the point is though, like Tony says, like, it makes me a better husband and a better father. He's clearly not that this episode. There's a whole shit with like Carmela's parents show up, Hugh has glaucoma.
He's screaming at Polly while fucking AJ's trying to watch that classic Blur video, coffee and TV. Yes.
that brings you back.
That brings you
but
back.
But yeah, might affect you if you hear your dad screaming, is there any way the package can survive?
oh, boy.
I mean, he knows his dad is talking about murdering somebody there, right?
Of course.
Like, what else?
Yeah, obviously.
Get a new dog, right?
right. Did you poke holes in the box? Is there any way the dog could survive?
I broke its windpipe.
That's it for him.
That's it for Ruffles.
I had a Ruffles.
yeah. But so finally, Paul and Chris get to the Pine Barrens, which is not the actual Pine Barrens, by the way. They were
West
set
Point.
To shoot there.
Yeah.
Is it?
By West Point, yeah.
I wasn't sure where it was, but.
Which I used to go to a lot because my family is, despite what you guys might think about me, my family is a military family. Just not me or my dad.
What? Right.
What? Sure. yeah. Jesus the Christ. Tough Feudernicks, they're military.
Cadet Feudernick is something I never want to see.
Beautiful. I didn't meet any of them at the wedding, I don't think.
You did, my uncle, my cousins.
Oh damn.
They were doing drills outside.
yeah. They were doing push-up contests.
So apparently like they had a permit to shoot in the actual Pine Barrens, and then some like New Jersey assemblyman or somebody was like, this show is insulting to Italian Americans, and like revoked the fucking access to it. So
they went
it's
to
a
his
cool,
house,
cool looking woods.
Yeah, they went to the assemblyman's house and beat him with a belt, and didn't work.
right, yeah,
love it.
Nicely done.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no
long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Oh, 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire that you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is the best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
But yeah, so they finally arrive in Pine Barrens. They give him the shovel. They give Slava the shovel to dig his own grave and then like let their guard down for half a second.
Yep.
And Chris gets brained in the head. And then, you know, that sets everything in motion. They're like, the guy runs off. Pauly gets a good shot at him. We see the blood coming off his head.
Right. He doesn't break stride. Yeah, doesn't break stride, though.
He hits the knee and just books. I'm like, oh, shit.
This guy's fucking immortal. But yeah, he keeps going. They lose the trail of blood. They lose the trail of footprints in the snow. And they're sort of fucked after that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the rest is just like comedy ensues, right? Like, what do you guys have like favorite moments? I love when Pauly fucking falls down the hill and Chris shoots the deer and then Pauly ends up. He's like, I lost my shoe.
If I was trying, we could have never.
I knew. Close. Right. Stop getting cunty.
Stop getting cunty. I mean, and then, every line and is then, fucking. And
then when he rolls down the hill, he goes, cunt. Great. Just.
Chris trying to eat the berries.
He's stalking us with this cock.
The phone call is cock, and he's like, "He killed 16
Czechoslovakian
rebels barehanded. He was an interior designer or something. It's a party. It's a party.
It sounds like shit.
I mean, that's the line that everybody remembers. That episode
sounds like shit.
And it's a combination of poor reception on the cell phones and Pauly just being an idiot.
And stupidity, yeah.
He should have stopped at Roy Rogers. I should have fucked the 11s.
Yeah, I should have. You know who Dale Evans is? Like, I had to look that up. That's Dale Evans.
Yeah, me too.
It's Roy Rogers' ex-wife.
Yeah.
Oh, I never made the connection. I knew she was like old-timey, like Western star or whatever, but. That makes sense.
I knew from the dialogue, I was like, has to be some sort of connection to Roy Rogers. Some reference.
Yeah.
I think it's a dude at first. That's why I looked it up. I'm like, who's Dale Evans?
Yeah, he thought it was like a NASCAR driver or something.
Dale Evans or Dale Evans Jr.?
Dale Evans Jr.
Now we're talking.
Dude, we should have had some Sacpino fan fiction of Pauly fucking Dale Evans.
Oh, maybe next time.
Come on.
I guess next week we'll just have to get Dino and Jackie Jr. banging or something, or you know,
banging Dale Evans for no reason,
banging Sunshine's corpse or something.
Yeah. Dino banging his corpse.
Did you ever eat at Roy Rogers on like the Garden State, like the rest areas?
Yeah, I mean they're at like as a kid, they're like lined that shit, like they're at like all of them, at least they used to be, like these,
yeah, they,
so many they, of them,
dude, their fried chicken was so good when I was a
it
kid.
Was you there was get, actually oh, one so in my neighborhood
you could have a yeah. hot dog, pizza, fried chicken, roast beef, it was like
yeah
there was like great. A cheesecake factory menu, they just served everything.
Yeah, it's so good.
Cajun chicken pasta.
What?
Now you're
getting crazy.
Sorry,
dude. They're Branzino.
Later, the Roy Rogers
sandwiches. Oh,
they're also Buco. My own. No, but But yeah, so the, obviously they're starving. They're lost in the fucking woods. It's freezing. Chris has a concussion. Paulie's afraid of eating berries.
With one shoe.
He's got one shoe.
Which, like, that's like some serious shit. Like, I always like look. I'm like, I would have been like on Christopher's back by like 30 minutes. Like, dude, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously they call in the reinforcements. You know, Tony's got to leave after he already showed up late to dinner with Gloria. That's when she throws the lemon broil at his head. And Tony, hey, credit to him. He walks away. I feel like in other situations, he may have not walked away from that.
Yeah, and he never harms her ever again.
And it's a happy ending all around.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he heads to Junior's, who's like, what are you eating, steak?
Yeah.
I just love his reaction. He's like, no, I don't know. Like, he can't even deal with this.
He's so like finicky about like food smells all the time. He's always like, oh, you fat fuck. It's like, so he's so turned off by people eating.
Is it the white cat? How many White Castles you have?
He borrows a shirt from Junior, which I always found weird because I'm like, Junior's a fucking boys' medium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just going through cable.
Dude, he used like 120 pounds.
Even when he was like, you know, younger, like, yeah, he's still a twig. You know,
there's now he's on chemo.
Go borrow
Tony. Right. Tony could fit his arm in one of the in like the body of one of Junior's shirts. So, but yeah, that's when they call over, of course, Bacala, low man on the totem pole, to come help Tony fucking on a fucking search and rescue mission into the Pine Barrens. He shows up in full fucking hunter gear.
This is a legendary like BTS story about. Buscemi wanted him to make Gandolfini laugh on the reverse shot of Gandolfini seeing him walk in. So he like went to the props guy and like he asked the props guy for like the biggest dildo he had.
And dreadlocks.
So he walked in like with a big strap on. Yeah.
he had a Rastafarian wig and a huge strap and purple strap on.
I didn't know that part. I didn't know he had the Rasta.
Yeah, I don't know about the Rasta.
That's an entirely new visual.
Yeah.
Oh my. Well, now it's kind of problematic.
It's a purple. It's a purple dildo though. So.
Yeah.
Shrippa comes in blackface and a purple dildo.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Never worked.
Gandolfini's loving it.
Dominic Chinese is like, can we wrap this up, please?
I gotta sing on Restaurant Row later. Can we go?
Fucking serious.
Yeah. So they send Tony and Bacala out. They have a nice little moment in the car ride there. I mean,
yeah,
besides the stupid joke that Bacala tells about the bear left, so we went home.
Right. One other BTS thing is that apparently that scene was very close to being scrapped because it kept getting pushed and they were like way behind on this episode and they almost just like were like, yeah, we don't have time for it.
Right.
Which I think it's such a nice little scene in such like an overly like comedic episode. It's like, it's really nice and sets up their relationship for the future really, really nicely.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. I never thought of it like that, but that's sort of like, you know, we were talking, I think last week or the week before a little about how Bacalao's character evolves. And this is maybe like ushering into that new sort of like a little more grounded, a little more real, a little more like part of the story.
Not just a visual gag.
Like, right. He's not just like the already fat guy in an even fatter suit coming in for gags.
Shyness is a curse.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, things come to a head with Paulie and Chris when Chris goes to take a piss outside Paulie's window. And he's like, don't make me pull rank on you. And I think the quintessential line of the episode is, you know, captain or no captain, right now we're just two assholes lost in the woods. And that's sort of like probably the story they were trying to tell here is like, when you're stripped of every title society gives you and every previous iteration of relationships to people, like nothing matters when you're just two human beings freezing your ass off. Stuck in the middle of the night and you don't know where you are and you're hungry, you know, it's like, just so well done. And I think that's sort of like, probably like Terrence Winter. I don't know if he was the one who came up with the idea, but he was probably like, this is my vision for the story and probably built out from that idea.
It was Tim Van Patten who had the initial idea to have a Paulie Christopher episode where they get stranded in the woods. But I think that was where his idea ended. And then Terrence Winter ran with it.
wrote the shit.
Yeah,
out
but
of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the
yeah, Tim Van Patten's on the story credit.
That's right. Yeah.
Winner.
The iconic, like, there's like, there's always like lines that I keep on going back to in my life that'll come up with my friends, like us watching Sopranos, but it's always like, you know, mix it with the relish, you know, if we're out.
Mix it with the relish.
I always mix it with the relish, you know, that, oh, and yeah. Like, I'll leave you here, you cocksucker, you know, for junk.
Oh yeah.
I always, to this day, even with my wife, if something misogynistic happens in the house, I'm always like, I'm old school, Jess.
Yeah.
Those are like the three things that I've like taken from and just, it always gets put up. But yeah, mix it with the relish.
Mix it with the relish. classic.
Yeah. I mean, too many great moments in this episode to mention, but yeah, ultimately they're saved. And Tony sort of puts it on Paulie, like, you know, if this guy pops up again, it's on you, not on me. You're going to deal with the fallout, which a lot of people thought was set up for coming episodes, right?
Yeah.
And then, as we know, we never hear from the Russian again. How do you guys feel about that as you know, some of the super fans?
Fine. I mean, fine. I don't care.
But when back in the day, were you?
Oh, like, I was certain. Yeah, I was certain it was going to come back. I mean, yeah. Paulie's car was gone.
Yeah, like the car was gone. And then like, the ominous, like they said they didn't do this on purpose, but the ominous, like almost like the Russian POV scene at the end. There's a shot that like comes from like the top of the woods, like almost like he's perched up looking at the whole thing. It's like how they end the episode.
Right.
Did you think if you were, as you were watching maybe like the last season or like the sixth season, like did you think it was going to come back then?
No, I knew by then it wasn't coming back.
I figure I feel the same way. Yeah, I didn't think Coco, our buddy Coco, who's on the podcast, like he thought it was like coming back in like the season finale. Like
a lot
he
of people
really
did.
Thought. He really thought like it was going to be answered, and I was like, I don't think so.
As soon as if you're holding on that long, go ahead, Mitch.
No, as soon as Tony stopped fucking around with like the Russians with the money, like you didn't see that anymore. Hmm. They're like, I thought like, okay, they gave up, like not they gave up on that storyline. You know what I mean? They were not going to go tap that well anymore. It would have been kind of awkward if he just showed up like season six, like I'm here to kill you now, Paulie.
Well, a couple of things. So into Tony's, I think. I forget where this story bubbled up. I think Terrence Winter might have said it on a podcast or an interview or something. But the reason that they had Tony or Paulie and Chris like retelling that story in that episode is because there was going to be a scene later in that episode where Chris goes to pick up money from Slava, and he sees fucking Valerie sweeping the floor, but he's like, fucking, there's something wrong with it. Like half his brain is missing. And there's like a moment where he recognizes Chris, but he can't say anything. And he doesn't like register. Like, this is the guy who did this to me. Cause he's like, you know,
he's like Lanny from Mice and Men.
I mean, yeah. And Terrence Winter he said to David Chase, he's like, fans are going to fucking love this. And he said, as soon as he said that to Chase cut the scene. It's like,
did they shoot it?
I don't think they shot it.
Yeah, okay.
But there was gonna be like a little, that would have been like a little coda to the series, but
it's
also
better that
you never get an answer.
I would hate that now.
Like maybe back then I would like, oh shit, the Russian's back, but now like looking at it as a whole, that's so out of place and weird, like him sweeping the floor. Like
it would have been 100% fan service, and I think Chase was right to recognize that.
And I would
also
I think it would take like the luster off this, like rewatching this episode more too. Like it would take away 100%. From it.
Yeah.
Knowing that happened.
Right.
That's like such a good standalone episode too. There's like such like mystery to the whole thing. Like it just leaves so open-ended and
And that's such a signature of the Sopranos. I mean, they leave hints in the episode. Like if you're still by the end of the series, you don't get that ambiguity is built into the DNA of the Sopranos. Like you're not watching the show that you should be watching.
They know, but they don't know.
Well, I mean, there's even hints in this episode. Oblique means indirect, not straightforward, right? Like, they drop that little hint. In the final scene with Melfi and Tony, you know, she actually says the words to Tony, you know, after he complains about there must be something wrong with Gloria, she says, read into things however you choose. And that's sort of like, okay, fans, like this ends however you want it to end. It's in your head, but we're not telling the rest of the story. And I think this is just super smart of Terrence Winter and Chase to sort of like, okay, guys, like this is the sort of show we're making. Here's some hints to that effect. Get on board or not, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fucking Pine Barrens, guys.
Pine Barrens. Oh, I also want to say, like, speaking of Slava, I always forget like what a great little scene that is between Tony and Slava. That guy, that actor who plays Slava, is fucking great.
It's great.
Oh yeah, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That little scene where he gets emotional
when
about
he talks
Valerie.
About Valerie. It's really well done. And you know, not to keep talking about a different Sopranos podcast on here, but on Talking Sopranos, when they were talking to Buscemi, Imperioli said that like he's by far his favorite director just because he knows how to talk to actors because he is one and he's a really good one. So you see those touches in the episodes that he directs, and I think that's like a clear example of that like nice little scene that like it's kind of forgettable but very, very well directed, very well acted.
Yeah, you bring out a performance like that for a minor character.
Yeah, from a small recurring role. Like, I mean,
it almost made me want to see. Like, I wish there was more of him in the rest of the series. I don't care about Valerie, but Slava would have been nice to see.
What a great scene too! Like to finish it up. Like, I wonder if everything's gonna be okay. Let's see. And he's like, I would do anything for him. He's like my brother. Like, is everything okay with this guy? Is this guy dead?
How many Czechoslovakians? Hello, football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take full advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. And don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
But yeah, anything else we want to mention this app, guys? Before we go into fucking internet?
Let's move on. Let's
fucking do it. All right. There's a lot of chatter on the internet about fucking Pine Barrens, guys.
I'm shocked.
This is, of course, the segment of the show where we take questions and comments from across the internet, what people are saying about these episodes and The Sopranos in general. This is all about Pine Barrens. So I'm going to go through here. We got from Reddit user ZankC1864.
Oh, God. Okay.
We just cringe everything. What was the reaction to College and Pine Barrens when they aired? I'm too young to have watched the series when it came out, and I'd say these two episodes are the best in the series. For anyone who watched them at the time, what was the immediate reaction or impact of the episodes? We can just talk about Pine Barrens here. You guys remember?
What was the date of this episode? When did it air?
It was March 6th, 2001. Yeah. Hmm. Well, I mean, I can
remember watching this episode live because we would do dinner at my aunt and uncle's. They had HBO, and then the older cousins could kind of stay. Some people would leave. I could drive at the time, so I got to stay. You know, we would have Sunday gravy, chill out there, and then afterwards, like watch all the great HBO TV. So I remember watching it live. We all were like, we love. I mean, people like my aunt and uncle were dying the whole time, like. It's like that first time, you know, you get little pieces of Pauly and Christopher when, you know, in the episode, what is it? Christopher is the episode, right? When you know, you get a little piece of that, but then this, it's like full fledged. I mean, these guys are like fucking cartoon characters. You get a little bit with the Mikey Palmese, the Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But this is like just letting him go all out. Spending the night in a truck. He's ripping the carpet up. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's too much.
Yeah. I mean,
a great act.
I remember this season was actually like a little bit not as well received as the first two seasons. This was the first season I watched live. I just remember I was a junior in high school. I remember like people would come in on Monday and talk about it. And like for most of the season, people were like, the episode was fine. And then this episode came out and the next day everybody was like, that was finally a good fucking episode of Sopranos, which I didn't agree with. I thought the entire season was great, but yeah, this was like definitely from like out of the gate. Like people were like, this is one of the best hours of television that we've ever seen. Right.
Just the landscape is so much different too through it. Yeah. Like, you know, these two idiots in the woods, like he loses a shoe right off the bat.
Yeah. It's a contained story. It's memorable. Right. The comedy, like it's not the quintessential Sopranos episode. As we talked about at the top, I don't think this is the episode you get new fans with, but I mean, it's up there. So,
well, I think like the memorable episodes are often the ones where you say the title and you automatically are like, oh yeah, like this college test dream, Sopranos home movies.
Oh, test dream, even controversial, like, but
controversial, but I think those are often like the most memorable episodes are the ones where you can say the title, and sometimes you're like, I mean, you have to be a really like huge fan of the show to be like, oh yeah, The Legend of Tennessee Moltisanti, that's where it's like, you know. Yeah. But you say Pine Barrens, you know,
people get it.
It's like funny, like you say like Sopranos home movies too, so you have college Sopranos home movies and Pine Barrens, like all three episodes where they're like really not in home base, right? You're taking guys like out of their element and just taking them somewhere else, and it's so funny like not having them be in a place where they can control everything is
it's a really good point.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if we're missing any other episodes where they sort of like fish out of water kind of thing.
Oh, remember when? Remember when?
White Cap, remember when? Yeah.
Vito up in fucking New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. live free or die.
But that's a few episodes.
It's a weird episode. Like the internal monologue, like the only time anybody gets an internal monologue. Gotta be
noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I feel like that wouldn't have made the cut from David Chase if it wasn't so fucking true to life. Like, how many jobs have you had where you're just like, not gonna look at the clock, not gonna look at it.
You hit me.
This next one from user Deucebag 1969.
Finally, a good fucking handle. Now we're talking.
This is interesting. Would the Pine Barrens episode be even funnier if it was Syl and Pauly trapped in the woods? What do you guys think?
No,
I think. No, you have like a father, like the father son dynamic. Like Christopher is the character that's got so many different fathers in this, like, you know, the father son relationship that's huge in this whole series. That's so many different, like father son, like still in that situation, he's a goddamn mess. He might have shot and killed himself in an hour in that.
It would be funnier in a bad way. Like it would be funnier that it would be like. It would be like fucking the Keystone Cops. It would be like so slapstick. Those two.
It'd be like a fucking Mad TV sketch.
Yeah, those two are like big characters anyway. So that's why you can't do it, because it would just be like, it would not make sense.
Yeah. I mean, would it be fun to see Silvio, who is like the quintessential, like put together, perfect hair, weird, but kind of like perfect. Pristine outfits, like wardrobe all the time.
Very
like,
smart,
would it be funny
calculated,
to
like one of the smartest characters in the
smart
whole,
yeah. calculating send him into the middle of the woods. Yeah, actually I'd like to see that, but I don't think it would be better for the overall story. Yeah,
they
or even just this episode,
they
because
wouldn't
you
have
forget this
if it was the two of them, they would have like eat they would have been each eating each other. Each other.
Or they would have like both just shot each other simultaneously.
So. Silvio pulls out cheese in the van. I mean, fucking cheese.
Yeah,
he
keeps a stick of brie on him at all times. But yeah, so I don't. Yes, it would be funny, not funny. Deucebag 1969. This one from user Joe Buck is poor. Season 3, Episode 11, Pine Barrens question. What would have been the consequences if Pauly and Christopher let Valerie, in parentheses, the Russian, go back home or to Slava? I mean, I think you can make the logical next step. This would be a fucking clusterfuck for Tony if Valerie shows up.
It's like almost like war with the Russians, I guess. I mean,
plus the guy washes huge amounts of his money for him. Like, he would also have to part probably with that money that he dropped off, fucking $200,000.
Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think that happens? Do you think Tony then has like Paulie or Chris whacked? Like, this
absolutely.
I don't know if he has him whacked, but he's not helping Paulie at all. No, he makes it very clear at the end of the episode, like, this is your shit to deal with.
Mayonnaise.
I think Tony absolutely would have given up Paulie to the Russians.
Maybe not Chris, but Paulie for sure.
Yeah.
Paulie fucked up. I mean, he was like the lead on the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. And then he and his story kept on changing. I thought you said he sucker punched you. You know, like, his story kept on changing.
He can't keep his story straight. But yeah, I mean, it would have been bad news. Paulie probably would have ended up having to pay with his life at that point. This one from Baron VSS. Do the events of Pine Barren still happen if Paulie isn't sent to collect the money? Like, if Tony had sent Chris and Bobby or Chris and anyone else to collect the money, the whole thing would have been over in 5 minutes as opposed to 2 days.
He goes in with the worst attitude of all time.
Yeah, like, still should have just gone to get the money. That would have been a way better episode.
Right.
Then we can see Tony, like, banging Gloria for longer.
They don't interrupt him. Why does he pick up that call, too? Like, he picks the call up. I would have been like, fuck these guys for 10 minutes. Like, I'm going to last 3 more minutes, okay? This is the best.
I'll call you back.
Yeah.
Right. Fuck these guys.
True. That was a quite unselfish moment for Tony. He delayed his orgasm to help his friend.
I'm just going
to
bottle it up and fucking beat the shit out of her.
Next episode.
He was working on tantric sex in this episode.
But listen to one sting. I don't.
That was really big after American Pie.
Oh yeah,
it was big this time. You know, around this time.
This little gripe from user MackenzieOB95. Tony's meeting with Slava in Pine Barrens. I find it perplexing that a show that loves to delve into cultural stereotypes about food and drink would have a Russian character drink Grey Goose instead of a Russian brand of vodka. Did you guys notice that?
As a Russian myself, I can say that they don't necessarily drink Russian vodka because, like, Grey Goose is just better. Like, honestly, like, I mean,
supply chain.
You drink slowly, casually, but they were cheersing, like him dropping off fucking 200K.
Better vodka.
So, yeah.
He's not going to go, here, have a drink of Wolf Schmidt with me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, have fucking Stoli. Oh god, I just got nauseous.
What's the best? Got real nauseous. What's the best Russian vodka?
I don't know. It's something we don't fucking know.
Something we don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about that. Like, what is like a good one?
But Russians just love vodka. Yeah, like, they don't care it's not the Russian. Like, Grey Goose is. I used to drink vodka a lot, and Grey Goose is fucking awesome.
Yeah, Grey Goose is great.
It's good.
It makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, true.
This one from user Lanky Kong Dong.
I know what your dick looks like now. Okay.
Got a little glitter on it. Really weird looking.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Question.
Goalie is flustered as fuck, dude.
Taking him back.
Ooh.
Goalie's burner account.
Rosy-ass
cheeks.
What
kind of Kong Dong? No, but between the series finale and the Pine Barrens episode, which had left you with more of a craving to find out what happened? For me, it's got to be Pine Barrens. I understand the finale doesn't reveal Tony or both families' fates, but I feel they finished it that way for artistic appeal, I guess. The Pine Barrens episode, I feel that they could have possibly gotten maybe half a season, possibly more, dealing with the consequences of Christopher and Paulie not finishing the Russian off. Your thoughts?
Mm. I don't know. This is
So the main question, which would you rather see extended? The like what the Russian storyline or what happens after the finale I guess the
Russian storyline, just because like if the finale was finite, and I still believe that he was killed, but if the finale was finite, then it makes the rewatch a little less and more enjoyable to me. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I don't think I wouldn't touch the ending. I love the ending. I've come to love the ending. I didn't immediately love it, but
screaming. I screamed at the end, like what the fuck? You know, like everybody in the hall, we had like 10 people in that apartment and we were all screaming at the television. Yeah. And you know, you watching it at the time, but you knew that like it had to come to an end because they were doing like seasons, like once every like 18 months, they were getting shorter and shorter. These guys did not want to do this anymore. Like it was coming to an end. And I think it ended well.
Oh fuck.
Sorry. Yo, be professional, motherfucker. What the fuck?
I hit the phone off.
God damn it. Who's calling?
Dude, it's late there. What is it, your fucking dealer, dude?
It's 10 o'clock, and the only thing I can think is that something's going on with my auto warranty. I need to call these people back. Oh, God. There's a Saudi prince that's been trying to get a hold of me. I don't
Mr. Wisick, Mr. Wisick.
I gave him 10 grand. I'm supposed to get 30 in return.
you better pick that up, man. We'll take it live on the pod. No. Okay. Yeah. So agreed. We'd rather see the Russian storyline extended if we had to, but I'm not really thirsting for that. This one from user. Sorry. Sisanu, don't know how to say it. Pine Barrens is an episode format that many shows try to emulate. It's so legendary that it became an episode format of its own, and all new series must have their own Pine Barrens. For example, I was watching the 5th season of Better Call Saul, and the episode Bagman is their own little version of Pine Barrens. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have watched Better Call Saul.
I watched that. Felt the same way. For sure. Sure.
Right. Yeah. It's basically Saul and Mike stuck out in the desert this time, sort of trying to make their way with a bag of money back to society. And it felt very much like Pine Barrens.
Yeah, they must have those guys probably even fucking knew when they were writing it.
Like, yeah. And apparently there's an episode of Mr. Robot that is sort of like that in the same vein. I haven't seen it, but just doing a little research. You know, a lot of people say this is a bottle episode. But it's not really the classic bottle episode.
It's like Fly.
The Fly and Breaking Bad, where it's like limited cast, like usually one location.
Yep.
It's like
it's
the Chinese restaurant in Seinfeld.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Brady's go to Hawaii.
He's go to Hawaii. Yeah.
These are all the most classic examples. All the most classic examples of bottle ups.
What was this user's question?
No question. Just like I thought, like an internet, interesting question or comment. Jesus Christ!
He's still flustered from Big Ass Kong or whatever the fuck.
Long Kong Dong. The fuck.
Yeah. Long delicious Kong Dong.
But yeah, I think Pine Barrens is something that subsequent showrunners and television writers have certainly tried to emulate. To success with Bagman, I thought it was a fantastic episode, and probably lesser success as well with series we don't give a fuck about.
There's other episodes like this. I mean, like, you know, where they do a standalone episode on a character,
right?
It's something we see for sure.
This one from user Phil Leonardo.
Ooh,
do Paulie and Chris carry a handcart and duct tape in the car just in case they accidentally kill someone doing collections and have to wrap them in their own rug?
I did.
1 minute it's negligent manslaughter, and next they're wheeling Valerie out like some kind of corpse disposal specialist.
It's so obvious too.
I did think that too. I was like, either that was in the apartment or Paulie just has that all the time.
Yeah, Paulie works for a Bud Light distributor on this side.
What do you hear? What do you say? I got your kegs of Goose Island.
Got your case of Bud Ice.
You never know when you're going to need a hand truck and duct tape.
so obvious that it's a corpse too. Quintessential corpse in a drawer, like in a carpet.
Certainly good not thing. A carpet because it bends at like seven different angles.
Carpet's got teeth.
Good thing he was.
Damn,
good,
he lost that cart when the car was stolen.
Good
probably.
Thing he lived near this back alley too, as we could go, uninterrupted.
Good thing he lives in this back alley that's clearly Queens and not Jersey.
You clearly know what's
funny? An alley behind Silver Cup.
I was watching. I mean, I don't know. This is just a little thing, but like in the first scene, like the boat looks so nice, and then they do like the reverse, and you see Tony walking in, and it's like you can't see from the outside. I was like, oh, this is fucking Silver Cup.
Silver Cup, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, it's probably hard to shoot on a fucking in a galley of a boat.
Like it's just moving around.
Even inside the
the camera
inside the truck was Silver Cup. When
Paulie
and Chris are inside the truck, that's fucking Silver Cup.
Oh sure. Yeah,
oh yeah, and their breath, their cold breath is CGI inside the truck.
Is it?
It is. Wow, it really is. Yeah,
dude, they're getting better as goes on.
From Olivia's face.
On Olivia's body in the back of the car. What? Where am I? What time is it?
When did Olivia get wings? Fucking weird.
And this one, finally, from Spidey 007. replace Chris in the episode Pine Barrens with Furio. Paulie still manages to piss him off, but then Furio steps up and fights him. How does the episode
annoying episode.
Yeah, also Furio would have fucking like split. He would have never given Valerie the shovel in the first place. He would have split fucking Valerie's head in two.
Yeah.
Oh, Valerie would have been dead 100% in the apartment.
He would never have gotten talking to fucking Mortons, none of that shit. They would have had Roy Rogers and they would have thrown him in the ocean like a half hour later. Yeah.
It would have been funny though. Okay, Bello Universal Remote.
Yeah.
I mean, he does that. He goes into the apartment with the fucking, what was it? The Bevilacqua?
Bevilacqua.
Yeah, he goes and these guys are picking up money the wrong way. Like, you get more flies with honey, guys.
Right. Be the nice collector.
Yeah.
And he'll throw in a tip.
Paulie's like, yeah, when we pick up the money, I'm just going to roast the shit out of this guy. It'll probably go well. This fucking 7'5" guy.
I mean, it would be a good fight. I mean, the entire episode might have been just 45 minutes of Furio and Valerie fight, hand-to-hand combat.
The Revenant, Pine Barrens.
It's Rocky Five in the apartment.
They agree to set up a fight at a later date.
Yeah. Cut to Furio, like, inside Valerie's corpse, like, just trying to keep warm.
He's got some open, like, a tauntaun.
Furio would have been like,
mother, can I be
a I think they would have just ground him up at Satrial's. That's like sandwiches for months.
Tastes like fucking Belvedere.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a way.
Meat tastes weird.
Agent Harris, like, man, I've been craving a Satrial's human parmesan sandwich.
Vodka sauce. Vodka sauce.
Vodka sauce. That's all I got for fucking internet.
Hey.
Well, good shit. Great. Good shit.
Good app. Good
legendary app. Legendary app. Mitch.
Hey.
This is a blast, man. Thank you for coming on.
Guys, love yous. Miss yous. It's good to see you over here.
So good to see your face.
And
stay warm up in the Arctic, okay? Yeah.
I'm about to get 16 inches of snow overnight, so that's it for me.
Yeah, guys. Well, it's like
that's it for him.
Yeah, it's like 50 degrees here, so we, you know, we can relate.
Totally,
we can relate. People, I went to the park the other day to go hike, and people were wearing parkas. It's like 60 out. So yeah, that's how fucking awful people are in Los Angeles. They are.
Well,
then you have like the white trashy like. Just piece of shits out here wearing shorts with like
Bill's Mafia. Bill's Mafia.
Cheap steak and a sausage and fucking live forever.
That would be fucking me. That would be me.
Yeah.
I knew a guy out here that like all winter long he would keep his hair short and buzzed in the winter, and he would wear shorts, Carhartt boots, okay, and like a jacket. But then in the summer would come, and he would grow all his facial hair and his hair out long, and like he just did the opposite. I'm like, dude, what's going on? He's like, I like to be contrary. And it's like, I like to swim upstream. I'm like, it's stupid.
Sure. I like to be personally uncomfortable for the entire year.
He's dead now. He was like, oh, people like to be alive. I like to be dead.
So. I think he's with you guys now. He might be dead.
We'll never. He's like carpet. Valerie. We'll never know.
I shot him in the head. Ambiguous ending.
He kept running. I shot him through his cargo shorts. He kept running in the snow.
Mitch is going to walk into a Roy Rogers and see that guy sweeping the floor.
He's going to vaguely recognize me. He's going to put his hand in the fucking fryers.
Good shit, good shit. Listeners, as always, you can find us at OSopranosPod on Instagram and Twitter. You can email us your comments, questions, concerns, what you like, what you don't like. At osopranospod@gmail.com. Give us a 5-star review. Shit on us. Shit in our mouths. Shit on our families. But give us that 5 stars. We love those 5 stars.
As long as you leave the 5 stars.
Just leave it. Good shit, man. We love you, Mitch. We love you. Thank you for coming on for such an iconic episode.
Love you.
Oh. Love you. Oh.